right, you got to say right off the bat, if you're not a fan of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, well, you'll probably be a fan of about half this daily podcast. It's Thursday, May 27th. Welcome. All the best stuff from today's broadcast. And yes, we did talk to Graham Nash at length, coming on the heels of their big re-release of Deja Vu, which celebrated its 50th anniversary this week. But before that, we talked golf hype. There's another novelty round in the works. A guy with a rather powerful name caught our attention. And we talked the upcoming Philly 500. Hopefully you voted. John shared an ice cream study, and we heard a cat remix before Song Stories featured some wonderfully loony content, courtesy of David Lee Roth. Plus, we learned about Toilet Bro Code. Have a listen. Here we go. It is the Daily Podcast.
Degrees outside with temperatures today getting up to 85 degrees today might be the nicest day of the weekend, and it's not even the weekend yet. Yeah. I mean, there's gonna be rain tomorrow afternoon. There's gonna be some rain on Saturday. Temperatures are gonna be you know not chilly, but you know, only in the 60s during the course of the weekend. Tomorrow's gonna like
it's chilly.
It's only getting up to like 73.
I'm in summer mode.
67 degrees outside right now. Oh, it's a summer mode. Yesterday,
oh yeah,
there was stuff I had to do outside. You would have thought I took a shower when I came in.
Yeah, sprinting for a shade.
Right. Oh my God!
I mow the lawn.
Right.
Peak Oof. Sun.
Right. And the wild thing is how drastic the temperature change was from being in the sun and the shade.
Oh God! Like 20 degrees. It felt like
you know. Probably it's because we're not used to it. You know, it's like that every summer.
Right.
But yesterday was the first day that you really sensed that. You know, like oh my God, this is just ridiculous. Really, I mean, Lisa came in and goes, "Were you in the you running through the sprinkler? What's wrong?" I said, "No, I'm just sweating." All right, but today will be a lot nicer. It will be warm. Like I said, a high temperature of 85 degrees. All right, so it's not happening until July 6th. Am I going to have to hear about this until then?
The match?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you know,
this one has more hype than ever,
folks. Normally, when people talk about golf and wood, they're talking about a golf club. Not around here. No. Golf wood around here is these two talking about a match that's not going to happen for a month and a half.
Got to build hype.
But it was just announced, and Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson are absolutely taking Bryson and Aaron Rodgers to the woodshed already on social media.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the thing. Right. I mean,
well, isn't Phil Mickelson like a little social media star in his
own
right?
Yeah, so is Tom Brady.
Oh, is,
they're both phenomenal at it.
Okay. All right. And then yesterday I heard you guys talking about golfers in general, and for the most part, most golfers hate each other.
No, just a couple.
Yeah, especially Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau right now,
because
they went viral. Brooks did because there was a leak in the golf world, a leaked golf interview. Imagine that phrase just 5 years ago. Like, what? A leaked golf interview? Yeah, because Bryson rocks metal spikes.
Right. Which nobody else
which
wears.
No
He's
one,
the only one.
Right.
That's very 90s of him.
It's taboo.
It's very 50s of him.
Well, 50s through 90s, yeah.
And Brooks was caught rolling his eyes and stumbling through an interview and getting distracted and basically letting the whole world know he hates the guy.
Very catty.
I love it.
Okay.
The pettier, the better.
Somebody call Damon Feldman.
Right.
And let's get a celebrity boxing match.
That's what we need.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I'm a man who likes to talk and sing with children.
102.9 MGK.
With COVID, and as long as we were speaking of sports, with COVID going on, there is a lot of people, once again, screaming and yelling. There's cries out to beg the International Olympic Committee to cancel the Summer Games in Tokyo. And Japan's having a massive breakout of COVID-19.
Are they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're having a big time. But one IOC member has made it clear that canceling it is off the table, and that member is Dick Pound.
Yes! God, what a great name.
Dick Pound went on to pound home the message that they're going to do a bubble environment, and that they realize it's not completely safe. But it's, you know, they can't guarantee that everybody's going to walk away without the disease.
Worked out for the NBA and the NHL.
Yeah, it did. You know, and when Dick Pound speaks, people listen.
You're right.
That's right. All right. Just the idea of when he was in school, how his name would come up.
Don't Google him.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Madness.
102.9.
Madness.
MGK.
Later on this morning, we're going to be talking with Graham Nash, the 50th anniversary edition of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Deja Vu is finally out. It was supposed to be out a year ago, but the pandemic kept that in place, and they wanted to put it together in a way that they could promote it and let the world know what's out there. It is an immense set of stuff. Four CDs, there's outtakes, there's demos, there's, you know, alternative, you know, takes. Just a lot of stuff. I'm going to talk to Graham about it all, starting at 7:40 this morning. But something that starts, well, tomorrow will be the Philly 500.
Yeah.
We're feeling good about what do you call
Brandy.
It? Brandy, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a great TV show growing up.
You know, by Looking Glass, a fabulous band out of New Jersey. A lot of people don't realize that for some extent they are local boys, right? Well, now men.
Yeah.
Old men.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I'm feeling good about it. I think we might be able to make it into the top 150, to tell you the truth.
I think it's going to be, I don't know, I don't want to put that out there because then I'm going to want to be disappointed if it doesn't.
Okay.
Like, even if it hits like 170.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. 200,
our
300.
Our first goal is to get it in, period.
Yeah, get it in, period.
But the internal polling looks pretty promising. Yeah.
The higher, you know, the better, but yeah.
Right, yeah, that would be great.
I just don't want to be disappointed.
Right, and you know what would be great? Whatever number it comes in,
mm-hmm.
because I can't believe that Andre is having like a little hissy fit about this. All right, right? But whatever number it comes in, I hope the song just before it is a Beatles song.
Oh, that would be cherry on top.
Good, there's a good chance it could be with the amount of Beatles songs that
exactly.
might be on this list. Yeah.
Exactly.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I get it.
What? Are you missing a couple of buttons?
Philadelphia's classic rock.
Strictly for laughs.
102.9.
You know.
MGK.
That's not bad. It's pretty clever.
With this being the big holiday weekend, according to Matt, the official start of summer, as opposed to the unofficial start of summer for everybody else. All right. I love these stories because you can tell it's a holiday weekend because there's a story about ice cream that comes out.
Okay.
Right. And 59% of Americans say they prefer to eat ice cream alone with no one else around.
Why?
Right. Probably because they're eating so much damn ice cream, they don't want people to see how much ice cream they're taking in.
Yes.
I knew I was going to hear something from her. Right? And then the poll also found that 83% of millennials who like ice cream think that they're ice cream experts. Of course you do. Yes, you like ice cream and you know everything about it.
I am an ice cream expert.
What does that even mean?
Right? I know, really.
What does that mean?
But, exactly. But you know they believe it.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Shut up!
102.9 MGK.
All right, cat lady. So I've got something I think that you're going to like a lot. All right.
Okay.
There's this guy. I found this video. Right, there's this guy. He's got a few cats, but he's got this one cat that when he approaches the cat, I'm not sure if the cat is trying to warn him off or, you know, is excited that he's coming near him, but has the strangest meow. Listen to this.
What? That's scary.
Because as his hand comes closer, right, this sort of alarm goes off. And now he's getting real close. And close again. The guy's a musician and decided to put it to music.
I am human and you're a cat. We're making music. It's a matter of fact. I hate to hear you scream out in fear. Don't you worry, for I am here.
Pretty good hook, actually.
New right in.
It's a real good hook.
Write this in.
It's a low-key banger.
What's the name of it?
Yuga Cat Song.
The John DeBella Podcast.
It's lots of fun. We have music and everything.
102.9 MGK.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Villanova's College of Professional Studies. Pursue the next you. This morning's song story is about Van Halen's Beautiful Girls. And whenever we play a clip from David Lee Roth, I feel like I need to translate whatever it is he says. So basically, in regards to the song, I mean, this is a song that was, it was a second single from Van Halen 2. A lot of radio play, never really charted on its own, right? But a lot of radio play, and, you know, and there's parts about it that, according to David, will never go out of fashion. Basically, let me translate this as to him saying, deal with the basics.
I know that the technical and the mechanical changes, but humans do not. I'm telling you. From ashes to ashes and right back to buckwheat, Spanky, and Darla. You can get your brand new Pentium processor with a 300 gigabyte soft floppy disk drive. Plug in your 7-color Rayode Daylight laser printout scanner machine, and the first thing everybody puts up there is their favorite pornography. I deal with the basics.
The John DeBella Podcast on Philadelphia's number one classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Ahead of us is Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It is the 50th anniversary of the Deja Vu album. They put out an incredible set for that anniversary, and we're going to talk to him about that and a bunch of other. Did you say that he broke up with Joni Mitchell? I never heard the story. Via telegram, or she broke up with him?
Exactly. Yeah, she was the one that did it, and she let him know via telegram from Europe.
Wow. The email of the time.
Yes.
Right? Wow. But it costs a lot more to send.
Yeah, I would imagine
right.
So.
All right. Speaking of breaking up with people, listen to this story. Some guy on Twitter recently found out that his girlfriend was cheating on him after the dude she cheated on him with told him about it in a brilliant way. All right, this guy hooks up with this woman, all right, and the next morning she tells him that she has a boyfriend, right? So before he left the place, he left a note for the boyfriend in the one spot that he knew she would not check, under the toilet seat.
Oh, nice. Well, as long as he doesn't pee sitting
down. Not the cover,
down.
Not the cover, the seat itself. He lifted it up and put a note that explained the situation and wanted the guy to know up front, and he just said, sorry to tell you like this, but I want you to know. If I was you, I would want to know, right? And basically told him that he hooked up with his girlfriend.
That's bro code,
right? And I've got a photo of it. If you want to post it,
okay. Yeah, send it over.
So it's just like, wow. I just taped it to the bottom of the seat, and you know, and she never checked.
Wow.
Right.
Well, good for that guy.
And probably it was the first time that guy ever put the seat down.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is finally out, the 50th anniversary deluxe edition of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Deja Vu. The collection, which was curated by Graham Nash, features 4 CDs, 1 LP, and includes 38 newly released tracks, features, demos, outtakes, everything you could possibly imagine, and Graham Nash is on the phone. Hiya, Graham.
John DeBella, how are you, man?
I am fine. How are you, sir?
Great. I must correct you. This entire thing was put together by Patrick Milligan from Rhino and from my best friend in the world, Joel Bernstein. They took it upon themselves to get all the tapes together and send the 4 of us all our different tunes for our permission to put them on. And so I want you to make sure that you know that I did not do this myself. It was Patrick Milligan and Joel Bernstein.
Well, that rules out my question of how did you pick some of these songs?
Well, the fact is that I wanted people that really loved that record to try and understand where the 4 of us were mentally and emotionally when we were making the record. For instance, there's a track on there of Our House where I'm playing, and Joni sat next to me and started playing the same song. It was Our House, which I'd written for her, of course. And I make a mistake, and we burst out laughing. Now, normally, you would never hear that. Not normally, but it was such an interesting intimate moment and an ordinary moment that I thought it was worth including.
Wasn't that from a soundcheck here in Philadelphia at the Academy of Music?
I believe that's where it was. I would have to check with Joel, you know, to make sure, because he understands. He'll go, no, I took a picture of that night and you were wearing the green shirt. he really is that kind of guy. So I would have to ask Joel, but that was my memory of it, that it was a sound check at the Philadelphia Academy of Music. And obviously I was sitting at the piano making sure it was coming through my speakers correctly. And that's when John sat next to me.
Let's talk about the emotions that were going on at that time, because coming off of the Crosby, Stills, and Nash album and going into this, in between the two, you had broken up with Joni, Steve had broken up with Judy, and David's girlfriend, was it Christine?
Yes, Christine was killed in a car crash,
and now you've got to make a new album. The headspace had to be completely different.
It was completely different. We tried our best. We knew we had good songs. We knew that we were decent musicians and decent singers. And but the difference is that first Crosby, Stills, and Nash record was kind of sunny and kind of acoustic and uplifting and gentle. But we were in a different emotional state when we went to do Deja Vu, that's for sure.
Now, the first CSN album, obviously, is three guys. Who decided we need a fourth?
Here's what happened. On that first Crosby, Stills, and Nash record, Stephen Stills played most of the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, David and I played rhythm guitar, you know, on Guinevere and Lady of the Island and Marrakesh, etc., you know. But it was Stephen that played lead guitar, rhythm guitar, bass guitar, B3 organ, piano, percussion.
Oh, my God.
Right. So that when we got to the end of the record, we realized that we probably had a hit on our hands. And then the next realization was that we would have to go out on the road. But what do you do when one member played most of the instruments? David and Stephen were at a dinner in New York City with Ahmet Erdogan, who is our dear friend and the CEO of Atlantic Records, of course. And in the middle of the dinner that Ahmet was having with David and Stephen, Ahmet said to Stephen, he said, I know who you should get, man.
It's a very good Ahmet.
And Stephen said, okay, Ahmet, who? He said, you should get Neil, man. And Stephen said, what? I just went through 2 years of madness with this guy. He's in the band. He's out of the band. We're doing the Ed Sullivan show. We're not doing the Ed Sullivan show. Are you crazy, Ahmet? And Ahmet said, I'm not crazy. You should get Neil. So then we had a problem, and the problem was this. I knew that Neil Young was a great writer and a great singer. I had never met him. I didn't know whether Neil could be my friend or I could tell a secret to, or, you know, buddy up with him. I said to David and Stephen, I said, look, I mean, I understand our need here, but I have to meet this guy before we invite him into the band, for God's sake. I said, we just spent, you know, a couple of years creating this wonderful three-part harmony that was completely unique to our three voices. But, you know, four-part harmony is a whole different animal. You know, I have to meet this guy. I had breakfast with Neil on Bleecker Street in Manhattan. And at the end of the breakfast, I would have given him the cafe. He was funny. He was self-deprecating. He was darkly confident, you know. And at the end of the breakfast, I looked at him and I said, Neil, why should we invite you into this band? And he looked at me and he said, you ever heard me and Stephen play guitar together, man? And I said, yes, I have. He said, that's why you need me here.
Were there any other people considered?
Yes. Stephen and Dallas Taylor, our drummer, went to England and talked to a couple of people. First of all, they wanted to know if Stevie Wynn would be interested in joining the band. And he was on his own trip right there, quite rightfully so, of course. And he didn't want to do it. So the next person that Stephen asked was Jimmy. And there's a famous picture on the box set that me and Joel and Stanley Johnson produced for Stephen's box set, you know, of his, you know, his four CDs of past music. And
when you say Jimmy, that could be Hendrix, that could be Page if you're in England. So I'm assuming Hendrix.
Yes.
Okay.
You are assuming correctly. And there's a foot, as I was saying, there was a photograph on Stephen's box set that we put in with Stephen playing Jimmy the chords of Woodstock for him to figure it out.
Now, a fourth player means another opinion and another songwriter. Does it put pressure on everyone to, like, you know, you got to make the material work with everyone else in the band?
Oh, yes. We used to have a kind of a rule between ourselves, which is that we only work on songs that each one of us likes.
Mm-hmm.
So we all four of us have to like a song before we can actually make good music from the song, you know?
Now, you and I have talked demos on numerous occasions, and there are 18 of them in this set. Some went on other CSNY albums, some went on to solo records. Do you have a favorite of all of those demos?
I do. And it's my song, Teach Your Children.
Uh-huh.
I had finished it in late 68, and I made a demo of it. And the story is this. I played Stephen the song, and he looked at me and he said, you know, that's a really good song. Don't ever play it like that again. and I said, what? He goes, yeah. No. You sound like Henry VIII. This is no. This is how this should go. And he put that beautiful Stephen Stills right hand picking pattern to it and turned it into a big hit. And we'd made the track. It was very simple. It was my acoustic, Stephen's acoustic. Stephen overdubbed a bass part, and Dallas Taylor was on tambourine. Very, very simple. But Stephen said, you know, me and Neil have been playing our lead guitar all over this album. I'm a little tired of this. What else can we do? David overheard that conversation. He said, hey, we were in the Wally Hyder studios in San Francisco, and there were four main studios in there. CSNY was in one. The Grateful Dead were in the other studio, and the Jefferson Airplane were in the other studio.
Oh, my God.
So David said, hey, I heard that Garcia has been playing pedal steel for a couple of months. Why don't we give him a shot? I said, okay, this is what you do. Take this two-track mix that we've got of the simple track, play it for Jerry. If he likes it and he wants to do it, fantastic. Jerry had his pedal steel in the Grateful Dead studio, part of Wally Hyder's, and he brought it in, and he loved the song, and he played it, and I got to the end, and I said, that's fantastic. You turned it into a big hit record. He said, yeah, but, you know, I kind of screwed up on a couple of places. Can I do another track? Now, who the hell is going to refuse Jerry Garcia another track? Nobody in their right mind. So I said, absolutely, you can do another track, but I must tell you that I'm totally in love with what you just played when you weren't thinking, when you were just exploring your way through the song. It was perfect to me. So you can do another track, but I'm going to tell you, I'm never going to use it. I did actually use a couple of notes that were not correct in his first take, but that's the story of Teach Your Children.
Now, there are 9 alternate takes on this box set as well. Is there any of those alternate takes that you would have preferred over what the final choice was?
Yeah, there were a couple of things, and this is one of the reasons why the making of the Deja Vu album was so crazy. I would spend hours making a mix of a song. Everybody loved it. Fine, that one's done. Put it on the master reel. Go home, get some sleep. Come back the next morning to start. And the mix was completely different because Stephen had stayed overnight and remixed it. And that used to happen constantly. And even to a point where I was in the studio and I actually said to the guys, you know, we're completely blowing this. Why is this so bloody difficult? And I ended up crying in the studio, which was the first time I ever cried tears trying to make a record.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you where we all were. There were a lot of drugs involved, you know, there was a lot of cocaine being snorted and a lot of people staying up for days on end. It was an incredibly chaotic album, and we wanted to make sure that the alternative mixes get shown.
Uncut Magazine had an interview with Stephen, and he has mixed feelings about this reissue, but eventually found it, you know, like, nice to remember that time. Have you spoken to him about it at all?
I have not yet. No, I haven't. I speak to Stephen, you know, every couple of weeks. I speak to Neil, same. You know, we don't talk to David, of course. But, you know, even Stephen's memory is a little weird, you know, because I think in that very article he mentions doing 4 and 20.
Yes, yeah, he does.
And the first take he did, he had a catch in his throat on the words "I embrace," and it was beautifully emotional. And David and I loved that. Stephen, when he got to the end of that take, said, you know, I kind of screwed up there. I want to do it again. And he did it again perfectly. But David and I still loved the one with the slight mistake in it. But Stephen says that it was him that liked the one with the catch in his throat, and that me and David persuaded him to do another take. I mean, it's just that didn't happen. But I must tell you that it was Stephen's idea for the graphics on the cover.
I wanted to ask you about that because supposedly the original cover, eventually it just became a picture. But originally it had depth to it. Supposedly it was one of the most expensive covers that Atlantic ever put out.
Yes, it was. And that cost us a small fortune, actually, because when you sell, you know, 5 or 6 million, 7 million of these albums, you know, and you're paying, you know, exorbitant prices for the artwork on the cover, we thought it was worth it. It was an expensive decision, but we thought it was worth it.
Stephen, in that same Uncut article, believes he's still paying for it.
He could be right. he could be right, and we are indeed checking that out.
I'm curious, is there anything that you would have liked to have seen on here that didn't appear, or do you think that this is as good as it's going to get?
I thought that Neil's decision on what tunes of his were going to go on there was a little harsh. He took a lot of interesting stuff off, and maybe he's saving it for another one of his archive projects. Mm-hmm. But during the Deja Vu album, we began to realize just who Neil Young was. He's a man that's a brilliant musician. He totally clings to the muse of music. When the music is right to him, he puts 125% of work into it. But when it's not right to him, he's out of the door.
Wow. I always find it so amazing that the three of you could actually work with him. Because like you said, everything about him, he's a great guy, but he is strong in his ways. He sticks to what it
yes,
is he believes
is.
And trying to move that, you might as well, you know, move the mountain.
Exactly. Because he would take his songs off the album and take them to his studio, wherever that was, and play around with them and mix them and then bring a track back for us to sing on. Now, that's cool, you know, if that's the way he wants to do it, but that was the way he wanted to do it, and that was against us. And I think I remember the only real time that we were playing for hours and hours and hours was on Helpless. As I said, there was a lot of cocaine being snorted, and we just couldn't slow down enough for Neil. And it took us until about 3 or 4 in the morning before we were exhausted enough to play at the speed that Neil wanted.
I'll just tire them out. We'll get what I want.
That's exactly right.
Well, look, this is an incredible set. Graham Nash, our guest, as I said, the new Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Deja Vu 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition is finally here in year 51. It took off for COVID also. But, Graham, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. And I hope to speak to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you very much, John. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.